This morning, we're going to start kind of a little mini series throughout the month of January on choices, because we all have choices to make, and we all make choices all the time. And January actually ends up being a month where we often reflect and think about those choices that we make. It's a time when we look back at last year and look back at the highs and the lows and reflect on the choices that we made. But it's also a time when we look to next year and what the next 12 months will bring and where we try and implement some things and some decisions. Where we try and, I don't know, in some way make our lives more successful, if I can use that term. But this morning I want to think a little bit about what that success actually is. What does that success look like? What does it mean to be successful? I'd guess, just looking around this room, I think if each of us were to write down our definition of what would be a success in the next year in our lives, we would all get very different things. There would be lots of different areas in which we would consider lives a success, maybe better qualifications, maybe getting our qualifications, passing driving tests, more responsibilities, promotion in work, new car, new house. You know, I don't know what things define successful for you, but I imagine we would all have different thoughts. But over the next 4 weeks, including today, we want to look at those decisions that we make and those choices that we make and try to look at them through a biblical viewpoint to try and see what the Bible has to say about the choices that we make. So this morning, we're going to start looking at Psalm 1. And I'll read it out, first of all, I suppose, before we get into it. So it's not too long. So Psalm 1 says this. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, they will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This psalm, I kind of view this psalm a little bit as a key to the rest of the psalm. So the book of Psalms is all songs and poetries, and this is the first one, and I kind of view it as a little key to understanding the rest of them. Because essentially it's setting out two different ways of living, two different ways of being influenced. And at the very start, the writer of this song seems to set out two competing influences that we can have. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Walking in the counsel of the wicked. You may note that some of these terms seem harsh. I'll maybe talk about that a little bit later. But walking in the counsel of the wicked is about the way that we think. Where you're getting your counsel from. It's about where you get your advice from. So when you're walking in the counsel of the wicked, it's about where are you getting your advice? Who's giving you advice? Who are they? He then continues to say, or that stand in the way of sinners. Now, when I think of standing in someone's way, normally it's to block their path. It's something I do quite a lot on Tuesday night at football. I stand in people's ways to block their path. But in Hebrew, and just from some reading that I did in Hebrew thinking, when they talk about standing in someone's way, they're more talking about living in their way. So to stand in someone's way is to live like them in Hebrew thought. So this is about our lifestyle, okay? So you have one that's about the way we're thinking and the advice and where we're getting it from. Next, it's about our lifestyle, how we're actually living. When you think about how differently Jesus lived compared to almost everyone who was around him at the time, it's quite incredible. he didn't live the way all the religious leaders lived. He didn't live the way all the religious leaders expected him to live. He didn't live the way the wicked, if I can be allowed to use that term, lived. He lived in an entirely different way. He chose a different path to live. The Apostle Paul, then, in the New Testament, when he's writing his letters, says things like he became all things to all people, but didn't take up their way of living. So he was able to relate to people, but he didn't live like them. No, he stood firmly in the gospel. And that's what Paul talks about, standing firmly in the gospel. Just, I suppose, like Paul says, this doesn't mean that you get yourself into a little Christian bubble where you never talk to anyone who's outside of gospel thinking. That's not what this is talking about. We should know and interact with all different types of people from all faith backgrounds and all sorts who are in our community. But that doesn't mean that we have to imitate their lifestyle. That doesn't mean we have to imitate the way that they go about their day-to-day. Our morals and our values have to stay rooted in Jesus Christ. Lastly, then, the writer talks about sitting in the company of mockers. So he's talked about walking, he's talked about standing, and now he's talking about sitting. There's kind of a downward spiral going here. In the metaphor, there's a downward spiral, but there's also a downward spiral in terms of what the person's doing. So first of all, he's walking, he's taking advice from the wicked. Then he is standing and living like the wicked, and now he is sitting with the wicked. To sit is to belong somewhere. To sit is to feel at ease, maybe somewhere, to feel comfortable. You sit. So this person is sitting amongst the company of mockers. They've become used to it. They're comfortable with people who mock the gospel and laugh at Jesus' life. And we're warned not to live like that. We're told that the blessed person or the successful person doesn't think the way the world thinks, doesn't act the way the world expects them to act, and doesn't belong among those who reject God and his ways. The successful person, the blessed person, is a person who follows Jesus and lives a different way. Rather than being influenced by the world, the successful person is influenced by God's word. In verse 2, we read, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. When we hear the word law, we can think it's all about rules and do's and don'ts. However, again, when you're translating this word, and I'm not making this stuff up myself, and I haven't found this stuff out by reading Hebrew myself, reading other books. When you transfer this word law, it actually means guidance or instruction. God's word is our guidance. It's not a rule book that we must follow and learn off to pass a test. It's not a manual for life that you never read until something goes wrong and then you start flicking through for the troubleshooting section. God's word is guidance for us. It tells us about who he is. It tells us about who we are. And then it tells us about how we live in relationship with him and with each other. So what is the antidote to living and thinking like the rest of the world? It's to have your mind shaped by God's word. To think about it day and night. Again, Jesus is the perfect example of this. Someone who delighted in God's word, and whether he was in good times, bad times, busy times, quiet times, Jesus meditated on God's word, took it in. And by meditating, the psalmist isn't necessarily suggesting that you have to close your eyes and start some Georgian chants or something like that. And I'm sorry, Mary, for stereotyping meditating there. if you want a proper description of meditating, you can talk to Mary after. By meditating here, what he's really talking about is that you're chewing it over, that you're thinking about it, And that can be in all sorts of different ways, depending on our personalities, how we do that. But by meditating on God's word, it's he's saying that we think about it, we questioning it, figuring out how it actually relates to our daily life, not just up there, but how it relates to down here. It's always good to remember that it's the Bible that changes us and not the other way around. So we don't read it to try and get the right answer to make us feel good about ourselves. We read it so it changes us. The end of the psalm then, after he's looked at two kind of competing influences, the psalmist then goes on to look at the two kind of competing lives then. What do these influences lead to? As I mentioned at the start, the terms wicked and righteous are used a lot throughout this passage, and there may be words that are a little bit outdated for us nowadays that maybe seem harsh or hard to hear. But essentially what these words are doing is they're describing the person's relationships. Okay? So the righteous person is a person who is in right relationship with God and with other people. Okay? The wicked person is the person who is in a wrong relationship with God and a wrong relationship with other people. Maybe you could say the wicked person is the person who's only living for themselves, trying to make sure that that whatever happens, they get the benefits of it. You'll notice that in this psalm, there's actually only two options. You're either among the righteous or the wicked. You're either among the group of people who are right with God and right with other people, or you're with the group of people who aren't. We either put our trust with God and with what Jesus has done for us on the cross, or we remain apart from him. It doesn't matter if you're considered to be the most decent and respected person in the whole country. If you haven't been put into a right relationship with God through Jesus, then you're still among the wicked. In verse 3, we read that the person who delights in God's word is like, it says this, he's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. So the person who delights in God's word is like a tree planted by streams of water. I don't know if you've ever come across a tree planted by a stream of water. A few years ago, generally like 10 years ago now, me and Bea had been going out for about a year. And we went down to Gorey to kind of celebrate, because that was probably as far as we could get. I don't know. I remember we were going for a walk in this little forest park. And me being young and I wanted to show off and I'm trying to impress Bea. And there was this massive, big, steep hill beside the path that we were walking on. So I was like, obviously thinking with my meal head on me, I thought B would be really impressed if I climbed this really steep hill and got to the top. So I started climbing. B just stayed down by the forest path, and I started and climbed up this really steep hill and got to the top, kind of celebrating like Rocky. I'm really proud of myself. I've made it all the way up this steep hill. And I looked down at Bea, and she didn't really care much. She's kind of starting to look a bit bored. So I was kind of like, right, I need to figure out how I can save this, how I can still be impressive. And then I came up with the perfect plan. To win back Bea's attention, I was going to impress her by running back down the hill into her arms. And this was all going to be perfect. So I set off and I started running down the hill. And it's really quite incredible the speed I managed to pick up. Like, I'd guess I was probably going, I don't know, 3-4 times the speed of Usain Bolt. Straight down the hill. It was really amazing until I realized that I might not actually be able to stop in time. And I was probably just going to end up running right through B. And that probably wasn't the best thing to do. I probably wasn't going to impress her. So I needed another option. And the worst news was that actually when I looked at B and I went, no, I'm not going to be able to stop before B, I looked like 5 yards behind B and there was just this massive river, like this huge river. And I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to stop before I get to the river. And I don't think it's that impressive if I climb up a steep hill and then run into a river. I don't know. I don't think that's the type of guy you want to date. So this was potentially disastrous. So I started trying to look around and figure out what the options were. I couldn't run into B because I might kill her. I couldn't run into the river because I probably wouldn't be going out with B for much longer if I did that. I thought about just, you know, throwing myself on the ground and rolling, but I was a bit too scared to try that maneuver. So I was too scared to do that. And then there was the solution right there by the river, this massive tree, just beside the river. So with B watching on, essentially I climbed a steep hill, ran down at an incredible speed, face first into a huge tree. Let me tell you, that tree was like solid steel. When I hit the tree didn't move in any shape or form. It didn't vibrate. None of the little branches at the top or the little leaves moved. It was just solid. I flew back about 5 feet and was winded for the next half an hour and couldn't breathe. Trees planted by streams are solid. they don't get knocked over very easily. They don't get shaken very easily because they're getting all the nutrients and the food that they need from the stream. And this is how a person who is getting his food from God's word is described, as a tree planted by a stream of water, yielding its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, whatever he does prospers. And when it's talking about prosperity here, and when it's talking about the person prospering, that's not necessarily to do with your bank account or your possessions or the size of your house. It's about fruitfulness. It's about the fruit of the Spirit. It's about how we become more like Jesus. It's about the impact that can have on other people's lives. The reason for the fruitfulness is solely because the tree or the person is rooted in God's word. It's not down to the person's natural abilities or temperament. It's not down to their hard work. It's solely down to God's word. And in contrast, then, the psalmist goes on to talk about, well, what's the wicked person like? And he says, they are like the chaff that the wind blows away. Nothing. Compared to that big solid tree, the chaff is nothing. Gets blown away, disappears. It's useless, worthless, fit to be discarded only. The contrast couldn't be bigger between these two. So according to Psalm 1, God judges our success on how we obey and live in his word. And this psalm isn't the only place that we kind of hear this message. In Luke 6, Jesus says this, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, torrent struck the house but could not shake it, because it was well built. But the one who hears my word and does not put it into practice is like the man who built a house on ground without a foundation. The moment the storm came and the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and it was destroyed completely." Here's the thing, both the wise and foolish builder, both of them heard God's word. Both of them hear it. Only one of them puts it into practice. Only one of them lives it. So, which path is it then for us? There's only two paths. One fruitful, the other useless. One in relationship with God, the other without him. One path might bring you poverty and It might bring you opposition. It might bring you suffering. But it might be considered completely successful. The other path might bring you wealth and fame and glamour and power and could be considered completely worthless. But what's it going to be? How are we going to define our success as we think about this year ahead? Are we going to define it by God's standards or are we going to define it by the world's standards? Will you be wise or will you be foolish? Let's pray and then we'll sing some more songs. Father God, we thank you for this time of year that can encourage us to reflect on the decisions and choices that we make. We pray that while we do that, that we will just desire to know more about you and your word. That we will desire for our life and to model the life of Jesus. And that we will make our choices to fit into that. We pray for each person in this room. We pray that you help each of us to think about the choices that we make. And pray that you help each of us to know that regardless of what those choices are, that that you love us and that you sent your son to die on the cross for us so that we might be put into right relationship with you and with each other. And we pray that you help each of us to understand that more, to accept that and to trust you, to have faith, to love you and to live that out. Amen.